The Packers tonight in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Green Bay Packers and Miami Dolphins at Lambeau Field. The Dolphins are tough against the run, led by linebackers coach Joe Barry, the former defensive coordinator for the Packers, and Anthony Weaver, who played for the Ravens and now runs Miami's defense, Matt LaFleur.
Their defense is outstanding. I think they do a great job in multiple areas, whether it's defending the pass. It's really tough to get explosive plays on them. So I think Anthony Weaver and his staff, Joe B, obviously has been a big help, I'm sure, to him, and good scheme. So it's going to be quite the challenge.
NBA, the Bucks are back home Saturday night against the Wizards. Milwaukee now 9-9 after that horrible 1-6 start.
We all know that collectively we have to step up as a unit. Individually, you got to step up, and it's just time to be ready. So we know what the job is. It's still the same assignment. We're all pros here. We know what to do.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Great travel weather for the holiday weekend, but it is going to be cold today. Mostly cloudy. A few flurries this afternoon with a high of only 25 today. Tonight, breezy 13. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, breezy, high of 20. And we're going to keep it that way. Partly cloudy in the low 20s right on through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. From our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, Wisconsin. Good morning. I got a question for you. What are you doing up at this hour? It's a holiday. I mean, I do my show from home, so it's not really a hardship to put together shows for today and tomorrow that look back on some of our more engaging interviews over the past couple of months, but I'm not early up early to stick a turkey in the oven or anything. So if that's what's got you up and at 'em at 6:07 on a holiday, well, I'm glad you've chosen us to keep you some company on another beautiful day to have you here up north from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app on demand by podcast or through our social media feeds. So talking about the news of the day, that's going to wait till we're back to fully live shows on Monday. But I think you'll enjoy what we've got today and tomorrow. You might have missed a segment or might really want to hear something again. Speaking of which, anytime you do miss something and you want to hear it again, you can always head to civicmedia.us and look up the Up North News Radio show page or subscribe to us by a podcast. And then you can listen back to episodes anytime you want. We'd also love to have you as a subscriber to our newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com. On the docket this morning, what Donald Trump's plan for mass deportations would mean, not just for Wisconsin farming, but the state economy overall. Hans Breitenmoser will talk to us about that. We'll talk about healthcare in rural Wisconsin and in the cities as well. After all, the city of Eau Claire was rocked earlier this year by a hospital closing, so was Chippewa Falls. And labor and delivery services are being cut in more communities, Wapaka being the latest place where residents might have a long drive when it's time to have a baby. So we'll visit with a local hospital administrator about how they're trying to expand their services. Yeah, expand their services in West Central Wisconsin. We'll talk about Up North News in light of the election results and the ongoing need for newsrooms and radio programs like ours. And Luke Mathers will be along later in the hour for today's history lesson. And we'll have our not-so-expert takes on tonight's Packers game against Miami at Lambeau Field. All right, let's check in now with the state of healthcare in Western Wisconsin, something that has most decidedly been in flux, shall we say. And Ailey Peterson, the CEO of Western Wisconsin Health in Baldwin, is here to talk more about that. Ailey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You're quite literally a stone's throw away from being back in rural Wisconsin to the north or south. And so you are acutely aware of the challenges of providing health care in areas that are not very large cities.
That's right. I like to think about it as a tale of two cities. We've got Hudson in our backyard, which is much more urban, of course, as you said, we're a stone's throw away from either Eau Claire or the Twin Cities, much larger urban areas. And yet here in Baldwin, we face a very rural community with all of the rural challenges, lack of access to transportation, challenging socioeconomic status, food insecurity, housing insecurity. And yet there aren't the same resources as one finds in urban areas. So the many of the pleasures and benefits of a rural community, but many challenges as we work to serve those in our community and absolutely in here in our rural community.
Yeah, no, we want to get into what Western Wisconsin Health is doing, the things that you're being proactive about. But there's also some reactive work that was made necessary by the abrupt closing of two hospitals in the Chippewa Valley when Illinois-based Hospital Sisters Health System closed Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joe's up here in Chippewa Falls. That I can see the shell of it, you know, just over the cornfield over here. Mm-hmm. And it was, and again, having a wife who's an OB in the Marshfield Clinic system, mm-hmm. and worked at St. Joe's for many, many years, she and others will tell you it was a genuine mm-hmm. shock. I mean, there were all kinds of discussions about all kinds of circumstances out there, mm-hmm. but the notion of two hospitals closing abruptly really did come as a bombshell to, you know, the 1,400 employees whose lives were affected. I would imagine when you all heard the news out there, you felt the shockwaves as well.
Absolutely. It was a wake-up call. You know, we did not believe that a hospital of the size of HSHS would close and close overnight. It was very concerning here. No one was anticipating or expecting this. And it really became something where we had to jump into action. We knew that where we were located, we were going to be called upon to serve an increased number of patients. We also knew that we were going to be called upon to help find employment for the many talented healthcare workers who, again, overnight found themselves without employment. So we did several things immediately to prepare ourselves for it. We were in the midst of an inpatient expansion, doubling our labor and delivery unit, increasing beds in our med-surg department. We ramped up construction. We had planned to shell some rooms and not finalize construction. When we heard the news, we knew we had to completely finalize all of the construction plans that we had and do so quickly to be able to be here for our region, increasing our hospital-based care, namely obstetrics. We also increased our workforce in short order, hiring many of the talented individuals out of the HSHS Prevea networks. And we increased our workforce by 20% over the last 4 months, which is really unheard of in a rural critical access hospital. We also improved our access to behavioral health. We hired 3 additional behavioral health providers, 2 additional psychiatric providers, to be able to do whatever we could to in a preventive manner, meet the behavioral health needs of the region. With the closures of the inpatient mental health services, our thought was that we would focus on prevention and add additional resources in the behavioral health department. Lastly, we increased our access to cancer care because we also knew that in the region with those closures, many patients who had a cancer diagnosis were left without a cancer care home in short order. So we wanted to be there for those vulnerable patients as well.
Yeah. I mean, again, in all of those areas, people think, well, you're just closing the hospital. No, there were all these areas that were impacted. There was the closing of the Ellie Phillips Libertas Center mm-hmm. in Chippewa Falls, for example, and things like that. But prior to that as well, mm-hmm. there was the decision by Mayo to discontinue delivery services, obstetrical services, not only in their smaller hospital in Barron, but their larger facility in Menominee. I mean, right there on the I-94 corridor. And so there is such a, there's such a lack of great options for delivery services. So you talked about stepping up to do that. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you did on your own, or how? Were there public funds available? What was it that enabled you to make the moves that you did?
Yeah, happy to talk about this very important topic because really we are at a crisis inflection point when it comes to rural obstetrical care. More than half of the rural hospitals in our country today no longer deliver babies. So when we talk about this issue, it's important to talk about it in terms of a public health crisis. Because as we think about why we have infant and maternal mortality rates that are much higher than other countries, it is largely driven by this lack of access to care. And as you mentioned, right here in our region, we've had six hospitals within a 60-mile radius close their obstetrical units over the last 4 years. So that impact is absolutely felt here. And it has been a foundational service line for us and an investment that this hospital has made over the last 5 years, and something that we will continue to do so. We are invested in ensuring that obstetrical care here within our community is a priority and can be provided to all. So that is why we made the choice while other hospitals were closing to invest in our labor and delivery unit and double the size. Last year, we delivered 285 babies. This year, we're projected to deliver 400. And you're right, none of this is possible on our own. It's the unfortunate state of reimbursement of obstetrical care that forces hospitals like us to fundraise to be able to stay afloat. And we've been fortunate to receive several grants, including congressional direct spend on behalf of Tammy Baldwin in the amount of $1 million, which was very instrumental in the success of our hospital. But it's very unfortunate that we have to fundraise to be able to save this essential service of labor and delivery.
Yeah, we talk a lot about Medicare and Medicaid especially, and that expanding Medicaid, Wisconsin accepting the federal funds to expand Medicaid, BadgerCare, would cover many more people. It would give them stable, affordable health care. But that's only one part of the equation. Mm-hmm. There then becomes the part of, okay, now we've got coverage, but we now need to talk about the reimbursement for that coverage, because it's one thing to have the coverage, but if you're actually losing money as a healthcare provider, then that coverage is not going to stay out there.
That you're hitting the nail on the head here, that until we reform reimbursement, certainly Medicaid, but many other payers, until we get to the root cause of this issue, which is truly reimbursement reform, extending coverage is not the answer. Every hospital CEO, as they look at their bottom line, they're going to see that obstetrical care is the biggest loser on their balance sheet. And it has everything to do with poor reimbursement. And so the call to action here is truly reform.
Let's talk about the workforce for a moment, because you did say we're a little different in Western Wisconsin because mm-hmm. of those some 1,400 jobs affected by the hospital mm-hmm. closings. You did have a pool of good potential applicants out there. Mm-hmm. That's not the case anywhere else, and it certainly won't be the case here once all of those qualified folks find roles.
Absolutely. So I think as we think about the challenges that face hospitals today, and I'll speak to rural hospitals, given that's my passion and niche area of expertise, I would say reimbursement and financial stability is high on that list, but right on its heels continues to be workforce. And we're in a bit of a unique position, as you said, because of a bolus of talented staff who came our way. But before that, and even in the months now preceding, workforce continues to be a challenge. As an independent hospital, we do have some advantages in that people want to come and work for an independent hospital, but this is not a challenge that's gone away. It is still ever present with us today.
How can people learn more about Western Wisconsin Health?
They can head to our website, which is, you can find us by a simple Google search at Western Wisconsin Health, and look at our website to learn more about our job postings and all of our healthcare offerings.
Wonderful. Ailey Peterson, we've learned so much. Thank you so much for your insight and for all you're doing for healthcare in Western Wisconsin. It was great to talk to you. Hope we can talk again soon.
Thank you, Pat. Same to you. Much appreciated.
All right. So much more ahead coming on this Thanksgiving Day morning. Thanks again for spending a little time with us. Remember, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin or around the world on the app on this Thanksgiving morning, when you're here, you're up north from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Quitelaw. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba. This is a community reminder from Buzz of the North. There's a free kids movie each Thursday at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library located right in Hayward. And that happens Thursday from 10:30 a.m. until 12:30. And this is a weekly event, happens each Thursday. Again, a kids movie at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library in Hayward each Thursday from 10:30 until 12:30. Community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces, a new adventure, create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot.
Catch today's history lesson every morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Greg, you were telling me that we got a call coming in, and boy, we love when people listen to us on the radio, but apparently people actually want to see our mugs.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. It's Dave from, Dave's a good guy. Dave has a question. He wants to know where he can find our mugs. Dave from New Berlin's on the phone. Dave, you want to look at us while we're talking?
Dave, are you there?
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Heard a little garble on the line there. Okay. So, well, Dave,
Him. Where can he go?
I'm happy to do that. First, I have to ask. I don't know anything about your eyesight or anything. Are you sure you want to see us?
Yes, I watch Jane and Greg every day.
Okay. Where do you watch Jane and Greg? Do you watch them through Facebook or YouTube or something else?
On YouTube.
All right. The way to watch this program on YouTube is to head over to the Up North News YouTube page. So you just got to search. I would search for Up North News WI. You know, the thing about YouTube is they don't make it easy. There's not like this easy web address that we can give you. So it's best just to tell you to head to YouTube and search for Up North News WI. And then you'll find the Up North News page, and then you click on live. There's all these different tabs, you know, playlists and videos and blah, blah, blah. Hit the one that says live and you'll see all of our radio shows every day, and you can click on those. Is that something you think you might be interested in doing for us as well, Dave?
I just went there. I'm right in front of a computer right now, so I see it right now.
Hey!
But I'm not going to turn it on just yet because I don't want no feedback.
Good man, Dave.
Dave knows this. Dave in New Berlin. Dave, thank you so much. And for folks as well, not just the YouTube, but on Facebook, the Up North News Facebook page, and the Civic Media Facebook page as well. So there's the three options for watching us through video. Dave, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Really appreciate him calling in. Apparently there's reasons to watch. Tony writes on YouTube from up in Ashland, every day I wonder what flannel Pat will be wearing. Well, guilty.
And what variation of a Brewers outfit is Greg going to wear?
Yes, what Brewers t-shirt will Greg be wearing here? I was given a little grief about election night. Todd was planning to wear a suit, so I had to go get a suit coat to put over one of these shirts because I haven't worn a solid color shirt and tie and suit coat probably since I was running for Congress in 2012 and then in the legislature before that and as a TV anchor for many years. I had well over 100 ties and then like 7 or 8 suits that I'd rotate through. And I missed that. I liked wearing suits. I was one of those weirdos that actually liked wearing suits. But now that I'm not in the game of needing to wear a suit every day, I don't know that I'll ever, I don't know if I'll buy another one at this point. You know, it's a different world out there.
Yeah. I'd like to have 2 suits. I'd like to have a fancy suit that maybe like is a, like for funerals or whatnot.
Marion and Barion.
Marion and Barion.
Yep.
And then one that's like casual where it doesn't have to have a tie, but like maybe like a 3-piece with a nice vest and just, yeah. Cause that you know, I'm always wearing t-shirts.
Well, but again, if your job allows for that, if it's comfortable, if you're working in a hot box, which a lot of these studios are with all that equipment,
yeah,
you know, why wouldn't you? So yeah. I don't know. Should we have, maybe we need a dress up day.
Oh, I was going to say old-timey radio day, white shirt, thin black tie, and just always looking serious no matter what. Like, yes. Oh, this story came out and breaking news and the okay,
now you've recalled. Taken dress up day too far here. Now we're just going into a time warp. White tie and tails for doing a radio broadcast. So I'm glad we could tell people about finding Up North News that way. And of course, we're talking about the website, upnorthnewswi.com. And I wanted to talk about that for a moment because there's been a lot of emphasis coming out of this election about, you know, what's to blame for people believing that a convicted felon who's only taken care of millionaires would somehow take care of regular Americans. And we know that there's a conservative right-wing media bubble that is immense that started, you know, about 40 years ago now, nearly 40 years ago with Rush Limbaugh. And it grew from there to some of these programs that I don't know that they could tell the truth if you put a gun to their head, but they'll say anything for ratings. They'll say anything for political advancement. And progressives for the longest time just threw up their hands and said, oh, nobody's going to listen to that. Nobody's going to believe that until they did. And so if folks are willing to get their information from Joe Rogan rather than journalists, that's an issue. And it's why some journalists helped start Courier Newsroom, parent company to Up North News, and why you have some fine journalists working now for Civic Media as well. And so for people who are like, well, you know, you guys have been around for 5 years and look how bad the election was, you know, maybe what you're doing isn't working. I say, we're just getting started. We're just a couple of years into this. People are just now learning about Up North News, about the radio show, about the social media posts, about the daily newsletter, the website stories. And that's something that's not going to stop just because Election Day didn't go the way that we would have liked. We've been through all kinds of elections up and down, but the work simply has to continue because otherwise we're going to be faced with a world where people are always believing you when somebody tells you they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, and whatever else they want to make up so that once they're in power, they can do the other things they want to do. Again, I said before, with all the anti-trans ads out there, there's no interest in running any kind of legislation like that. And if they do, it'll be designed simply to belittle, bully, and segregate a lot of nice, innocent people. They're not going after any predators. They don't care about that. They care about their own, taking care of their own wealth and their own buddies, and will say whatever they can at election time. The alternative is to have fact-based, left-of-center media, newsrooms, talk shows that don't make stuff up, that talk about the issues candidly and help inform voters for the elections of the future that we hopefully will have. You're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Well, with overall milk supplies remaining tight and more processing coming online next year, dairies are looking at their patrons a little differently. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Mike North with EverAg in Platteville says that currently there's some conversations that dairies are having with their patrons about not worrying so much about quotas.
In some co-ops, they're actually voting to remove the quota altogether. Just to eliminate that language from the playbook. Because at this stage in the game, I think everybody realizes that tool was good for the moment, but nobody wants to talk about it again. Because it did hold back several people from taking that next step forward a couple of years ago when they wanted to. Because if we go back a couple of years, remember $23, $24 milk in 2022 that helped, you know, send the signal. And if we would have already been expanding, we wouldn't be in the place that we're at right now.
Mike North, broker with EverAg out of Platteville. He says, while these conversations are ongoing, first quarter of 2025 still looks precarious for all dairy processors. Markets finished a little mixed yesterday in Chicago. Numbers are next.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
All right, so we've got a couple news items that could impact our markets today. Israel approving the ceasefire with Hezbollah and President-elect Trump talking about tariffs in play for Mexico and Canada, including potash coming out of Canada. December corn dropped 4¾ cents to 420. January beans were down 2¼, 983.5. December wheat was up 3¾ cents, 539.5. Barrel and block cheese were unchanged on Tuesday, while the AA butter dropped 2¾ cents to 248.5. December class 3 milk was up 40, 1881 a hundredweight. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Great travel weather for the holiday weekend, but it is going to be cold today. Mostly cloudy. A few flurries this afternoon with a high of only 25 today. Tonight, breezy 13. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, breezy high of 20. And we're going to keep it that way. Partly cloudy in the low 20s right on through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we get a sneak peek at the Hawktua Girls new reality show. And I welcome Discover Wisconsin host Andrea Belke and from National Lampoon, Jamie Kaler and Jeff Tully.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. It's 7:34 on this Tuesday morning, November 19th. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we spent a big chunk of the last hour talking about President-elect Trump nominating Sean Duffy, the former congressman for Northern Wisconsin, to be the next transportation secretary. There's been a lot of chatter about all these various cabinet picks, their qualifications, their potential criminal entanglements. You know, you've got your Matt Gaetz, your Pete Hegseth, Robert Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Kristi Noem, Marco Rubio, now Sean Duffy. Here's one thing that hasn't been talked about a lot. Who's going to be the next Secretary of Agriculture? It's not an unimportant role. In fact, just yesterday from Governor Tony Evers' office came the latest measurement of the impact of the of farming on the Wisconsin economy. Governor Evers and the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced that based on a study by the UW Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics, the Wisconsin agricultural production and food processing sectors have increased 11%. And they combined to have a $116 billion impact on the economy. That is 14% of the state's total economic output is related to agriculture and food processing. And so if you're going to do right by Wisconsin agriculture and food processing and jobs and the economy, you'd better have a good ag secretary, and you'd better have some good members of Congress who maybe serve on the ag committee. At this point, Wisconsin has neither of those things, but Hans Breitmoser is going to tell Donald Trump how to fix it all, and he joins us right now from his dairy farm near Merrill. Hans, how you doing?
I'm fine, Pat. Sorry for the delay here. Between my computer and my phone, I'm going to start a conspiracy theory about Elon Musk taking over all of our tech and screwing us over here.
I think you might have been right the first time when you mistakenly said Elon Trump. I think he might change his name.
Yeah, I know. I'll talk about a Freudian slip. Holy smoke.
I mean, whatever it takes to be essentially his shadow vice president. But that, anyway, that be that as it may. So I wanted to talk more about the importance of an ag secretary and what we should look for in that person. And then I saw the other day that you were featured in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article about Trump's plans for mass deportation. Now, we have talked about these two main pillars of Trump when it comes to the rural economy: mass deportations and trade wars through high tariffs. So we'll set aside the tariffs because I think we've spoken about that much more frequently. But the mass deportations, you did not hold back on what that would look like for, again, a sector that we've now determined is 14% of the total economy for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, and I haven't read the article yet. I
Oh, you look good. You came off all right, you know.
All right, good. Do I look tall and thin? Because that was my one request of the photo.
Ooh, sorry. That doesn't work for any of us. No. But the words that you said were spot on as far as what mass deportations or even just the threat of mass deportations would do, starting with Wisconsin dairy farms.
Yeah, well, and so, I mean, the gist of that article and the gist of what I've been saying for several years is that agriculture stops working without immigrant labor. That's a fact, that it just stops. So the concern, of course, or the manufactured outrage, of course, is for against all these illegal immigrants, all the illegals, And what I'd like to take a minute to talk about is what you were talking about earlier, which is to say the message, right? When you take an issue and you make an issue that didn't exist previously and demonize a certain group of people, you're going to get people out to the polls on things that aren't even, you know, reality. And I had an interesting conversation the other day, if I may. A fellow that comes to our farm and does a service for us once a month, I was talking to him about the election. And of course, he's a Trump voter. And I said something, I made some comment about, well, you know, it won't be long now and nobody in the dairy industry will have a job anymore because everybody's going to get kicked out of the country. And for those of us, you know, who have white skin, we'll be able to stay here, but we won't have any work. And he said, well, I wouldn't worry about that. They're only going to kick out, you know, the illegals. And I said, you understand that the lion's share of the farm that you go to, all the people that help you do your work are undocumented people. You get that, right? And he, honest to God, he didn't get it. He didn't understand that. And suddenly I had an epiphany myself, because the people in rural America aren't all nasty bigots, but they've been told this lie that illegal immigrants are the ones that are coming across stealing and raping. The ones that you know must be here legally, right? That's the disconnect.
I have said many times and will say again that as somebody who has always understood the value of immigration reform and how badly we need immigration reform, we need more immigrants in this country. Even though I've been that person for all these years, I do not have any shame in admitting how gobsmacked I was when Ruth Conniff came out with her book. The title of it is Milked. I recommend it to everybody. And when she said that it was something like 80% of immigrant labor or labor on dairy farms is from undocumented immigrants. And in the Journal Sentinel article, it quotes the National Milk Producers Federation as saying dairies that employ immigrants are responsible for 79% of the entire U.S. milk supply. And by the way, and this is where I like you to point out the distinction here, as Ruth did to me, it's that people would say, well, why don't they just get visas? Well, there are agricultural visas, but not the kind that would work for dairy.
Yeah, I mean, but it speaks to your earlier point about immigration reform. You know, everybody seems to agree there has to be some sort of reform, but nobody really understands how the system currently works and so forth and so on. And then it's become this political football, right? So that when we had a chance at some decent reform to move the needle in the right direction, who killed it? Donald Trump, to make a political issue out of it. So we could have been well on our way in the direction that says, you know, realizes that, hey, we need X number of people in this country to do X amount of work. I mean, think about it, Pat. You're talking, everybody spouts these numbers out, 11 million undocumented people. All right, well, let's take half of them or so. Let's just take 4, 5, 6 million people out of the economy right now, an economy that doesn't have enough people already. And now we're going to take millions of people out of the economy. I mean, I don't have a PhD in economics, but jeepers cripes, I think even I can figure out that that's going to leave quite a hole.
Yes, it is. And for reasons that include the fact that agricultural visas are seasonal. They're designed for allowing migrants to come in and harvest crops. And then they're supposed to go home after that.
That's right.
That ain't how cows work.
No.
Year-round thing, and there's no year-round visa. And despite multiple efforts to try to get year-round ag visas as just a first step,
yep,
in agriculture reform, in immigration reform, Republicans keep killing it.
Yeah, exactly. And they keep coming up with these ridiculous things. But they need that boogeyman, you see, because it gets them votes. When Tom Tiffany can have advertisements to say, oh, well, look at this brown guy, he raped a girl and so forth and so on. Neglecting to mention, of course, that the crime rate amongst these folks is way lower than the average crime rate in the United States. So you demonize these people, you make them the boogeyman, and that gets you elected next time. It's cynical and it's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I recall that Tiffany put up a post last week at some point where, again, it was all about, removing migrants. He couldn't wait for mass deportation. And the post that I put up was something along the lines of, hey, congratulations, everybody. Tom Tiff is volunteering to milk your cows for you. Because, I mean, he knows what the situation is, and yet he continues to spout off about, you know, the need for mass deportation. Well, unless Tom Tiffany is going to show up at a whole bunch of barns, you know, with his boots, I can't use the other term for that, you know, then he is truly talking out both sides of his mouth.
Yeah. It's so frustrating because, you know, those of us who are in the industry see people born outside this country working hard every day, doing all sorts of work, getting the job done as immigrants do and have done for all the years in our nation's history. And to have them othered the way they've been and demonized the way they've been. But again, I think it's per my earlier comments, we have this disconnect in the reality and the messaging, and somehow we need to get over that hump. And I'm not sure how to do that other than what you were talking about earlier is keep this media operation going and make sure that reality is being presented as an option as well.
That's the other thing we've got to do is we've got to make reality a reality. Because right now people think that reality TV is reality, when there's nothing in the real world, pun intended, you know, that has any bearing to what people are seeing on their TV. But if you hear those messages, if you see enough of those political ads, again, you think that there's a problem here that, well, again, there is a problem, but the way to address it is to actually try to solve the problem and not just, you know, demonize those who are trying to, you know, make a buck, who are trying to provide for their family and who are, in your case, hiring people because otherwise your farm's got to shut down.
Absolutely. And that is my reality right now. And trying to, you know, understand how my industry continues and how my farm continues without the presence of immigrants. Somehow or another, we need to again move that needle on getting business interests to have the ear of the government, which historically hasn't been hard. And I feel like that's one thing that gives me a little bit of hope, ironically enough, is that, you know, since the only thing that government tends to listen to is people with deep pockets, then perhaps there's enough wisdom in the industries that rely on immigrant labor to tap the brakes on this deportation nonsense and finally come up with some immigration reform. And I don't care who gets credit for it. I really don't. It's a matter of getting things done and doing the right thing. And if the Republicans get that done during their administration, I couldn't care less, but let's just make it happen.
Because people's
lives are impacted in the meantime. That's what people have to understand. Real people are being impacted in a big way in the meantime.
So let's get to the other topic very quickly, and that who might be agriculture secretary. And the fact of the matter is there's a couple of names being bandied about. Sarah Fry, the founder of Fry Farms, and a longtime Trump donor, Charles Herbster. Fry has participated in lobbyist events throughout D.C. Herbster has a major beef operation. But a lot of the reports say, does it really matter who is the ag secretary? Will Robert Kennedy Jr. basically have all the influence about agribusiness and about farming practices and about food? And I don't think that's going to inspire a lot of confidence in farmers or food producers if they can't tell who's really in charge.
Well, again, it's just this chaos and a cluster, right? Because what we can pretty much guarantee is that Trump is going to surround himself more this time around than last time with people who will do what he wants them to do. It's all about loyalty, and it has zero to do with experience. That's what should concern everybody. And the process is the other big concern. If we're going to get rid of FBI investigations into the, you know, or background checks, if we're going to get rid of Senate confirmation hearings, and the Republicans in Congress go along with that because, oh, don't worry, he'll pick a good person for the job, then it's going to go south real fast. So whether that's in ag or at the EPA or at education or pick your discipline, it's going to have a negative impact on how things function.
And I'll be curious to see as well is whether Derek Van Orden holds on to his seat on the House Agriculture Committee or if Republicans use it as more of a political tool to say, okay, we needed to get you over the hump. We needed to give you something to burnish your credentials. Now that you've been reelected, we're going to put somebody else in there. But again, that's a discussion for another time. A lot to watch throughout the transition. Hans Breitenmoser, thank you as always. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Well, thanks a lot, Pat. Take care.
You bet. Have a great day. All right, we'll be back with more after this and today's history lesson and more. You're up next. I hope she never breaks.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding a unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the classy part of Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning. With Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5 in E-flat major, which premiered this day in 1811. And if we're going to have the classy part of the show, we're bringing in Luke Mathers, ladies and gentlemen. Luke, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Pat.
Welcome. Have you ever felt so artsy on a radio program before?
On a radio program before? I don't think so. No, I was in concert band and everything, though. So, like, I got to do fun things.
Of course you were. Of course you were. You were an Eagle Scout. You probably whittled your own instrument.
No, I was never anything good like that. I just like to hit things. And therefore, my parents put me in percussion classes because it's better than just, you know, having a kid running around the house constantly tapping things. You at least have an excuse then.
Were you like the inspiration for the drum song then?
I don't know about the inspiration for the drum song, but okay. I was definitely...
I'm just saying, if Todd Rundgren was motivated and the Packers, you know, play it every touchdown...
Hey, the local classic rock station always played it at 5 o'clock on Fridays, and yeah. I got to hear it for the Packers touchdowns, so that was a classic a favorite of mine and my dad's, but... yeah, I mean, the concert band's fun, and you feel very classy when you're all dressed up. You got a little tie on, maybe a bow tie, and I was never that good at piano. I couldn't do Beethoven, but I can hit a cymbal and some triangles and stuff.
Yeah, just to be clear, that wasn't actually Luke in that clip just now.
It was not.
No. On this day in 1895, the first ever American automobile race took place. It ran 54 miles from Chicago to Evanston, Illinois. Any guess on the winning time to go 54 miles in the first ever American auto race in 1895?
1895, yep. 54 miles.
54 miles, yep.
Let's say 2 hours.
10 hours.
10 hours?
It's 1895. The best they could do is 5 miles an hour.
Wow. Okay.
There's a race for you, kids.
That's a race.
Yep. Hey, this is a big milestone birthday over at Motown Records. Co-founder Berry Gordy Jr. is 95 years old today. That was the very first of many number ones to follow for the house that Berry built, along with Smokey Robinson and others. Randy Newman is 81 years old today. Paul Schaefer, 75. John Stewart, 62. A lot of our entertainment favorites there, Luke, are kind of getting long in the tooth.
Yeah, it's getting up there. The years, they keep on coming by.
I know. But, you know, obviously they're still either making music or, in the case of Jon Stewart, making comedy, which is great. 60 years ago today, the Kinks had their first hit, and it didn't get to number one. It peaked at number seven. But I got to admit, I am surprised that this was not just their first hit, but that it was from 1964. Doesn't it seem more like, you know, like maybe 66 to 69, something later in the decade?
It definitely feels like a later, not 64.
And here's the thing. It only peaked at number seven because, again, this being 1964, here's the teenage tragedy song that was the number one hit that week.
Turn around and smile at me, you get the picture?
Yes, we see.
Yeah, the Kinks couldn't get to the top of the charts because the Shangri-Las were in the way 60 years ago this week. On this day in 1966, there was a new gold record certified by a one-hit wonder called the New Vaudeville Band. This was their hit.
Winchester Cathedral.
I play songs like this just so every so often somebody like Luke or Greg or anybody can be like, really? This was a hit? Yes.
Okay.
This was a hit once upon a time, you know, everybody kind of figured they were like Rudy Valley or something like that, you know.
The poor Kinks never getting to number one, but this one did.
Okay. But this one got to be a gold record. Yeah, exactly. On this day in 1977, Larry Bird was introduced as college basketball's secret weapon with a cover story in Sports Illustrated. It's weird to think of a time when Larry Bird was an unknown, but he wasn't playing for Indiana, if memory serves. He was playing for Indiana State, you know, just this little school, but Sports Illustrated noticed him and said, keep an eye on this guy. I think they made the right call on that one.
Yeah, I would think so too. And that's it. You see it now in today's sports where everybody's got to look everywhere. Because there's talent across the board in all of the places where you wouldn't expect it. So
they can't sneak up on you anymore. There's like, you know, a top prospect list on like every website and podcast.
Yeah, but those prospects aren't always right. You still see those outliers.
That's why you play the game. Who is that? Was that the, what was the NFL coach that said that? That's why you play the game. Yeah. On this day in 1978, the Blues Brothers' debut album, Briefcase Full of Blues, was released. This was recorded live in L.A. at an amphitheater 2 months earlier as the Blues Brothers were the opening act for comedian Steve Martin. It still remains one of the best-selling blues records of all time. Prince released his latest biggest hit on this day in 1984. All right, this will be the point where we remind you that coming up next, we have the conversation that Luke and I had with Dan Jacobs. You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Oh, so much. So very, very much.
Top Chef Wisconsin was just a nice little juggernaut and a nice little, piece of recognition for Wisconsin. And you'll get to hear the conversation that Luke and I had with the Milwaukee chef who was one of the finalists. That's coming up on this Thanksgiving in the second hour of Up North News Radio from the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Thanksgiving show. We'll give you some updates on the season and also some best ofs of the year. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Max Inc. Radio.
We're replaying the amazing live performance from an 11-year-old, plus new music from around the state. I'm Terry Barr.
Saturday and Sunday night starting at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New York City police stepping up security ahead of today's Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade in New York City. ABC's Aaron Katursky is along the route.
Barricades, blocker vehicles, and busloads of police officers are in place to guard the 98th Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. There are no specific or credible threats, but an NYPD bulletin obtained by ABC News says the high-profile nature of a parade watched by millions may be leveraged and exploited by individuals with various political or personal grievances.
The Australian Senate has just passed a social media ban on young children. It will soon become the first of its kind law in the world. It won't be implemented for a year while social media companies figure out how to work with the government to implement it. Three Americans who had been detained in China now back on U.S. soil. They were released by a prisoner swap. One of the men is from Houston, was arrested during a business trip. He was accused of drug possession, but Beijing never presented any evidence. This is ABC News. A federal appeals court is now saying that Texas can keep in place that razor wire it put along the border.
The Biden administration has called the 29 miles of razor wire unrolled along the Rio Grande excessive and inhumane. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has defended the tactic, saying it funnels migrants toward legal border crossing points. Now the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has issued a 2-1 opinion ordering federal agents to stop taking down the wire.
ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas. After the decision, the governor announced more razor wire will be put up. Getting turkeys to some remote parts of Alaska for Thanksgiving sounds a little like that scene from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, my God, there's turkeys! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes!
For the third year in a row, Esther Keim has been flying a small plane low and slow over rural parts of Alaska. She's dropping frozen turkeys to people who might not be able to get to a store. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life. The
way sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools